Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about Trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en GrupoVaughan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Aprende, diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas... es Vaughan Radio.
And welcome to the Drive Time Show. We've got a great program for you today. It is Friday. It's Friday. Hopefully you got that Friday feeling and you're ready to slide into the weekend. But today, some grammar to talk about. We're going to practice some important concepts today so you can end the week with a real sense of accomplishment. We have some interesting things on the show today as well. We're going to look at the top 5 best-selling soft drinks, refrescos, in the world. Obviously, you'd think Coke and Pepsi, but what else is in the top 5? I'll tell you later on in the show. We have some interesting common mistakes that I'm going to clear up as well. We also have questions from listeners in our famous By Request section. So we have lots to talk about, lots to cover. Let's get it started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for deciding to spend a little time with us here on this Friday afternoon and for spending time on your English, for investing the time. Okay, as we begin, well, hey, why not begin things the way we always do? I always say the same, but let's start things off with a challenge. That's right. How about today's warm-up gym?
The warm-up gym.
Well, here we are in the warm-up gym, and hopefully you're ready for a little challenge. Hopefully you're ready to, well, try something that's not terribly easy, not the most difficult, but let's practice with used to. Today, in the sense of acostumbrado a, remember, to be used to, estar acostumbrado a, y acostumbrarse, which is to get used to. And then we also have a past form, which is subject, used to, infinitive, which is a past form, okay? So, if I say, for example, no estoy acostumbrado a la disciplina. I'm not used to discipline. I'm not used to discipline. No estoy acostumbrado a la disciplina. I am not used to discipline. So we're not saying the discipline, right? Notice we're saying simply discipline. Antes hacía lo que quería. I used to do whatever I wanted. Lo que quería. I used to do whatever I wanted. Imagine that. The good old days. I used to do whatever I wanted. Supongo que me tendré que acostumbrar. I suppose I'll have to get used to it. I suppose I'll have to get used to it. No estoy acostumbrado a esta clase de gente. I'm not used to that type of person. Or you could also, bueno, esta. You could say this, I suppose. That, this type of person, this kind of people as well. I'm not used to this kind of people. Antes la gente me temía. People used to fear me. Claro, me temía. La gente. So remember, people are, right? People, it's plural. So people used to fear me. La gente me temía. Antes la gente me temía. People used to fear me. Yo antes era rico y famoso. I used to be rich and famous. I used to be rich and famous. Tendré que acostumbrar a vivir en la cárcel. I'll have to get used to living in prison. So notice to get used to become accustomed to, estar, bueno, acostumbrarse a algo, to get used to. I'll have to get used to living in prison. No tardarás mucho en acostumbrarte al clima. It won't take you long to get used to the climate. It won't take you long to get used to the climate. Antes vivíamos en un clima más seco. We used to live in a drier climate. Más seco. Drier. So this is the comparative here, right? Drier. We're not going to say more dry. We're going to say drier. So this reminds me of a lesson in the Vaughan Method I know I've read this before. An example where we're mixing the different forms of used to with a story about this guy, Gus Morgan. Okay, and it says, Gus Morgan used to be an important person. He used to be rich. He used to have a lot of cars. He used to appear in the gossip magazines with beautiful women at his arm. He used to think that the future was bright. Okay. However, that was before he went to prison. Now he has a new life and he has to get used to a lot of new things. He's not used to living in a prison cell. He used to live in a luxurious mansion. But now he has to get used to living in a prison cell smaller than his old bathroom. He's not used to sleeping on a hard, narrow bed. He used to sleep on a king-size bed. Now he has to get used to sleeping on a bed only 80 centimeters wide. The biggest change, however, is the food. Gus Morgan used to eat in the best restaurants and drink the best wines. He's not used to eating the same food every day. He's not used to eating only beans and boiled potatoes. He used to eat caviar, beef, fish, and lamb. Now he has to get used to eating only beans and potatoes. He's not used to drinking only water either. He used to drink the best wines from the Bordeaux region of France. Now he has to get used to drinking water and only water. Gus Morgan used to be king of the mountain. He used to do whatever he wanted and go wherever he wanted. He's not used to having to stay in only one place, and he's not used to following orders. He used to give orders, not follow orders. But now he's in prison, and he has to get used to a new way of life. He's not used to it yet, but like every other prisoner, he'll get used to it eventually. So that is our little story. It's kind of like the, let's say Mario Conde, no? A little bit like Mario Conde of the Vaughan world. But Gus Morgan has had an unfortunate turn of events. And we see there the different three different versions of used to. So used to as a past form, which is used to plus infinitive. And then we have to get used to and to be used to, which is accustomed to. We can say accustomed to in English, but in Spanish you'd say acostumbrado a. Acostumbrarse, to get used to, plus ing. Or a noun. Really, anytime we have a rule, whenever we have a rule in English where the teacher says, oh, it's followed by the ing. This is a gerund noun. So really, it's technically a noun, right? Where you can say to get used to the food. Or to get used to eating the food, to get used to cooking the food. Grammatically, it's the same thing happening. We're using the verb. We're putting it into the ing to satisfy the need for a noun in the structure grammatically. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Anyway, used to, a little look at used to here. And this is a topic that causes trouble for some people. Okay, another thing I want to talk about quickly is, have you ever been to? So we never say, first of all, we never say, do you know Boston? No, we say, have you ever been to Boston? And we say been to, we don't say been in. Have you ever been in Boston? No. Have you ever been to Boston? So yes, have you ever been to Rome? Yes, I've been to Rome. Or no, I've never been to Rome. In my case, yes, I've been to Rome. Oh, how many times have you been there? You could say, I've been there once. Ah, when did you go there? So notice we would make a change to the simple past when we realize that we're talking about a moment. Estamos hablando de un momento en el pasado. We start talking about a moment, then we switch from the present perfect to the simple past. When did you go there? Oh, I went there 2 years ago. I went there, 15 years ago. Or I went there in 2015, whatever. Okay? So have you ever been to? Have you ever been to Ottawa? Yes, I've been to Ottawa many times. How many times have you been there? I've been there 20 times. When was the last time you went there? The last time I went there was 6 years ago, for example.
Like, ask, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
All right, it's time for What's the Difference. Today's What's the Difference? We're talking about the word or the verb ganar. People at home are saying, oh, win, exactly. But, oh, pero ganar dinero? Earn money. Now, typically, I always say the same thing. Companies make money. People earn money. And Nadal wins tennis matches. Rafa. Remember him? Rafa Nadal. He wins tennis matches. He's a great tennis player. Okay? So to win, now you could win money, of course, but winning money would be like the lottery. You play the Christmas lottery, you win the lottery, you win the money. Okay? Now, by the way, we never say we won the opponent. Nadal won Federer. No, Nadal beat. So vencer, vencerle a alguien, to beat someone. To beat him and win the championship. To beat his opponent and win the match. Okay? So if you're, right, if you're talking about the, if you're talking about a competition or a game, yes, you can, absolutely, you can say to win the match, to win the game. But with money, if you win money, you'd be talking about the lottery. Okay? To win the lottery. To earn money, that's working. You earn money working. And you win the lottery. Or to make money. Typically companies, we say make money. Ganar dinero. Okay? So let's try a little bit of translation. Poco de traducción. A little bit of translation. Gana mucho dinero trabajando en la fábrica. He earns a lot of money working in the factory. La fábrica, the factory. Nunca he ganado la lotería. Which is true. I've never won the lottery. It's true. I've never won the lottery. Mi jefe gana más que yo. My boss earns more than I do. Gana más que yo. He earns more than me, or he earns more than I do. My boss earns more than I do. That's true. ¿Es fácil hacer dinero en Internet? Is it easy to make money on the Internet? Right? In Internet, we'd say on the Internet. Is it easy to make money on the Internet? I think the answer is no. I think no, it's not easy to make money on the Internet. It's kind of hard, but people do it. La compañía va a ganar mucho dinero con esta tecnología. The company is going to make a lot of money with this technology. The company is going to make a lot of money with this technology. Es un oponente tan duro que no puedo vencerle. He's such a tough opponent that I can't beat him. Que no puedo vencerle. He's such a tough opponent that I can't beat him. Gana más dinero jugando al póker que lo que gana trabajando. He wins more money playing poker than he earns working. He wins more money playing poker than he earns working. Interesting. So he wins money. He wins more money playing poker than he earns working. Okay. Puedes ganar mucho dinero vendiendo paneles solares. You can make a lot of money selling solar panels. Now, you could also say earn. You can earn a lot of money, or you can make a lot of money selling solar panels. I don't know if that's true or not. I think the market is pretty competitive. But anyway, an interesting sentence. Los boxeadores que ganan, ganan más dinero que los boxeadores que no. Claro. Porque son los mejores, right? They're the best. The boxers that win earn more than the boxers that don't. De los que no. The boxers that win earn more money than the boxers that don't. Makes sense? Sounds about right. Ganaron al Barcelona para ganar el campeonato. They beat Barcelona to win the championship. They beat Barcelona to win the championship. Okay, so there you go. I think that's a pretty good little bit of coverage there of win, earn, and make, particularly with money, when we're talking about different ways to say ganar. Okay, to win or to earn or to make.
I have the reason.
No, no, no. I'm right.
The people is crazy.
No. People are crazy.
I have 30 years.
No, I am 30 years old.
Common mistakes.
Mistakes. All right, our common mistake today, I find difficult to. Me cuesta sonreír cuando estoy enfadada. I find it. So here we need to insert the word it. I find it. I find it difficult to smile when I'm angry. My boss finds it impossible to concentrate in the office. ¿Te resulta fácil estudiar por la noche? Do you find it easy to study at night? Do you find it? Do you find it easy to study at night? Me resulta muy difícil expresarme por escrito. I find it very difficult to express myself in writing. So I find it. Hace falta el it. I find it. Okay, so let's build some sentences. Vamos a hacer una cosa. Let's do something here. Let's do an exercise. I will give you some information, and you create a sentence using find it. Okay? So, for example, my boss, make friends in the office, and impossible. And you can say, my boss finds it impossible to make friends in the office. Okay, me, speak in public, difficult. I find it difficult to speak in public. Okay, me, read a book in English, easy. I find it easy to read a book in English. My best friend, show his feelings, difficult. My best friend finds it difficult to show his feelings. Nobody, learn a language, easy. Nobody finds it easy. Hey, it's true. Nobody finds, con ese, nobody finds it easy to learn a language. And I think that's true. You know, maybe if you've learned, I think if you've learned a bunch of languages already, you know, if you've already learned three or four languages, the next one will come easier. And progressively, you can draw concepts from other languages and you can learn them easier. But if you find it difficult to learn English, don't worry. It's normal to find it difficult because it's not easy. Right? English is not easy, I admit. But practice makes perfect. And speaking of that, you've come to the right place if you're trying to practice your English, because we're going to take a short break, but we're going to come back and practice a whole lot more, including questions from you, the listener. We're also going to see some history today, or hear some history, I guess. We're on the radio. And we're going to talk about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which was fixed on this day in 1964. We'll talk about that. We've got grammar, pronunciation, and so much more. Lots to talk about, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Aprende, diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown. Nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Vaughan.
Hello, this is Fitz of No Excuses. Do you know the English expression, you never know until you try? Well, with video conference classes, you never know until you try. Many people will say, no, no, it can't work. It can, and it does. You never know until you try. Vaughan Video Conference Classes.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Esta es tu radio. Una radio diferente, divertida, donde informarte para descubrir, aprender. Una radio única, como tú. Somos los de Vaughan. Esto es Vaughan Radio.
Let's go. You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller. Everybody's watching you. People you meet, they all seem to know you. Even your old friends treat you like you're something new.
This is the Eagles in the song New Kid in Town. In a song that apparently they said they were writing about their replacements when they wrote this song. The replacements for the band themselves, a band that sold an awful lot of records. In fact, I believe their greatest hits album was one of the best-selling albums of all time. And it was this day, in fact, in 1977, when this song went to number one on the U.S. singles charts. It was the group's third number one, which was also a number 20 hit in the U.K. The single was written by Don Henley, Glenn Frey, and J.D. Souther, who released the first single from their fifth album, Hotel California, this album, which came out in 1976. And yes, it was J.D. Souther, one of the co-authors of the song, who had that to say. He said, "We were writing about our replacements," when talking about this song, which he wrote with the other members. And he said, "The song emerged from our whole fascination with also gunfire as an analogy. The point was that some kid would come into town who was much faster than you. So like kind of like the Wild West and gunfights in the Wild West. Someone would come to town who was much faster and he'd say, 'Go,' and he'd prove it. And that was the story of our life, the story of aging, especially coming out of your teenage years and your young man years, and as you approach 30, you begin to see that things don't stay the same forever," he said. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of other guys like you, and there are other people out there who can do the same things that you can do. Kind of a an interesting message there. But this was, yeah, the third number one hit for them in the United States. And it's a bit of a classic and did appear on the that very famous live album by the Eagles, which sold, I forget how many copies, but some tremendous amount of copies. One of the best-selling bands of all time, in fact. The Eagles, as we go back to the late 1970s. Anyway, let's push on, though, everybody. Let's move on and have a look at today's vocabulary, shall we? Oh, I think we shall. Let's get into some vocabulary today. And we're going to explore in our vocabulary section today. Well, let's talk about life. It's time to talk about life. It's, Kyle, por fin, la vida, claro. Tell us the secret. No, not the secret of life, but I want to talk about the stages of life. Because there's some interesting vocabulary here. We have toddler, T-O-D-D-L-E-R. This is between 1 and 2 years is typically, or maybe 2, 2.5, a toddler, toddler. Or, well, and then you have a teenager, T-E-E-N, because naturally the number of years is in the teens. So 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Now, middle age, de edad media, or mediana edad, I guess you say. Middle age, adulthood, edad adulta, adulthood. A pensioner, pensionista, pues jubilado, jubilada, pensioner. Or someone who's retired. You could also call a senior. Senior. I think that's more common in North America, a senior. Well, seniors are often on pensions. Childhood, to niñez, childhood. Jubilarse, to retire. Retire, jubilarse, to retire. Adulto, we can call, of course, an adult, but we often say a grown-up. You know, when you're a kid and you think, oh, adults know everything. Grown-ups know everything. He must know the answer because he's a grown-up. Okay, the elderly, los ancianos. Ancianos, the elderly, elderly. Y luego, juventud, youth. Y-O-U-T-H, youth, youth. Y-O-U-T-H. All right. So a little bit of vocabulary for you there. Let's go ahead and have a look at our expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
Our expression of the day today, hold your horses. Hold your horses. And this means, espera, espera, wait, wait, wait. Hold your horses. Hold your horses now before we get too far into this. And it means to wait. So it's a common idiom meaning hold on or wait. And this is historically related to horse riding or driving a horse-drawn vehicle. And there have been actually a lot of different, apparently a lot of different explanations about the origin of this, but all of them come from some relationship with horse-drawn carriages or horseback riding. And they go back to usage in ancient Greece, in fact, but it doesn't matter. Da igual, it doesn't matter the origin. What's important is the meaning and that you understand this. So hold your horses. And this means wait. Espera un momento. Hold your horses. Don't advance prematurely here. Hold your horses. Let's wait. Okay? Hold your horses. That's a very common one. Very common expression.
A. Amazing. B. Beautiful. C. Cheap. D. Dirty. E. Expensive. F. Friendly. G. Good. H. Happy. I. Interesting. J. Jealous.
Awesome adjectives.
All right, it's time for our awesome adjective. And as I have done over the last few days, I want to practice a few different adjectives as we look at a translation list. Okay? So let's translate a few sentences and we can build a little base of adjectives here. Okay, the first one. Estás equivocado. You're mistaken. Estás equivocado. You are mistaken. Mistaken. Mi jefe es una persona muy voluble. My boss is a very moody person. Muy voluble. Very moody. So he changes his mood often. He's very moody. Okay. My boss is a very moody person. No seas tan ingenuo. Don't be so naive. Hey, don't be, no seas tan ingenuo. Don't be so naive. Don't be so naive. That's a good one. Fue una experiencia dolorosa para todo el mundo. It was a painful experience for everyone. Fue una experiencia dolorosa para todo el mundo. It was a painful experience for everyone. Has hecho un esfuerzo digno de elogio. You've made a praiseworthy effort. Praiseworthy. So, digno de elogio, praiseworthy. Worthy comes from this idea of deserving of, que merece, merecedor. In this case, de elogio, deserving of praise, praiseworthy. Que merece un premio, prizeworthy. Right? Deserving of an Oscar. Oh, Tom Cruise gave an Oscar-worthy performance. Right? Deserving of. We say worthy in a compound structure, praiseworthy. Here, you've made a praiseworthy effort. Very good. Okay, so we've seen a bunch of expressions here, a bunch of adjectives. Okay? And, you know, little by little, we can improve. We had extrovertida. Remember this? Outgoing. Pálido. I said this the other day. You look... Te veo pálido. Te veo pálido. You look pale. Pale. P-A-L-E. We don't say, I see you. In order to say in English, te veo, I see, we say, you look. You look pale. Okay? Anyway. Let's push forward, shall we, folks? We'll push forward. In fact, hey, why go forward when we can go back a little bit? Let's go back in time and have a look at today in history.
Today in history.
Well, it was this day in 1964 that the Italian government announced to the world that it needed help saving the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The top of the 180-foot tower was hanging 17 feet south of the base. And study shows that the tilt was increasing by a fraction every year. Now, experts warned that the medieval building, one of Italy's top tourist attractions, was in serious danger of falling. Of toppling, to topple, which means essentially to fall over in an earthquake or storm. So proposals to save the tower arrived in Pisa from all over the world, but it wasn't until 1999 that a successful restorative work began, or I should say successful restorative work began. So construction began on the Leaning Tower for the first time back in 1173. And when it started at that time, it was already starting to lean, having been placed on unstable soil. So era un suelo, una base, inestable. And many attempts had been made over the long history of the tower to correct its lean. Now, the tower was eventually closed to the public until an engineering solution was finally found in the late 1990s, and the tower reopened to the public in 2001 after a foot and a half reduction had been achieved. Now, it's thought that those 18 inches in correction will give about 300 years more life to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So just a little structural improvement, making it, correcting it by a total of 18 inches, a foot and a half. But they say that'll give it 300 years more life before it falls over the next time, you know, or before it needs significant work again. Okay, let's go back, let's go back to 1936. And it was this day in 1936 that Shirley Temple received a new film contract from 20th Century Fox that would pay the 7-year-old star $50,000 per film. And that was a lot of money in 1936, especially for a child actor. Now, Shirley Temple was born in 1928. She was born in Santa Monica, California, and started appearing in a series of short films that were basically spoofing current movies. Now, a spoof is a parody of current movies. It was called Baby Burlesques. She was only 4 years old, and at age six, she attracted attention with her complex song and dance number called Baby Take a Bow, performed with James Dunn in a movie called Stand Up and Cheer. That was in 1934. And based on the success of the film, 20th Century Fox signed little Shirley to a 7-year contract. And she would appear in a string of films that year and the next, including Little Miss Marker, Change of Heart, Bright Eyes, and another one called Curly Top. So in the middle of the Great Depression, Shirley Temple's films were kind of an alternative universe for audiences who were suffering unemployment and general economic hardship. The economy was going terrible. Things were not going well. But she was a star of that time. So they knew that they had, 20th Century Fox knew that they had what they call a cash cow, right? Something that would be very profitable for them, that would yield great revenue. So they knew they had a cash cow on their hands, and 20th Century Fox refined the terms of her contract in 1936, paying her $50,000 per picture, right, per film. They also famously altered the year on her birth certificate, making it appear as if she was a year even younger. So to sort of prolong her status as a child star. Now by 1938, she was the number one box office draw in America. Box office, las taquillas. The number one attraction in the box office in America. The public loved her. And she would often upstage to overperform, right? To gain more protagonism then, to upstage her adult counterparts on the big screen. Over the course of the 1930s, the box office success of more than 40 films she was in was very, very significant. And it went a great way in terms of helping 20th Century Fox survive the Great Depression. So this child star was key, really, for the survival of 20th Century Fox, one of the main production companies in Hollywood. Now her career began to peter out, which is a phrasal verb and an expression, which means to reduce or to decline So her career basically went into decline when she was, when she became a teenager. And, because she was known as a child star. That was her thing. That was her niche. So her career began to peter out. And her films were met with less and less success with audiences. In 1950, she retired from the movies. But she did narrate a TV series called Shirley Temple's Storybook in the late 1950s. Also in 1950, she married a Navy officer named Charles Black. And she changed her name to Shirley Temple Black. She had previously been married to another man named Jack Agar when she was 17. And she had one child with him and then got divorced. With Black, she had two more. So a very successful career that was pretty much done by the time she was 20, but she had made a lot of money, making $50,000 a film when you're a child. And in the 1930s, that was a huge amount of money. So no doubt, even though her career basically ended at the age of 20, Shirley Temple went on, you know, she was, I would assume, set for life, right? Set for life. That means, you know, financially stable for the rest of her life. And, but there you go. One of the most iconic child stars. Another one, I guess you could think of, although he really only did a few movies, but Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. That guy now is 40 years old. And I've seen interviews with him where he recognizes that he's known for the Home Alone movies, but he seems to always want to show that he's okay and that he is more than that and he can do more than that. And I think with those celebrities, either you try to do more, you try to prove that you can keep doing more, or you settle for the fact that you are retired and you will always be known for your child role. So a lot of child actors, a lot of famous child celebrities, they live a pretty tough life. If you look at Michael Jackson, of course he was famous all his life, but he became very famous at a young age. And that's something that of course is very difficult for people to deal with, very difficult for kids to deal with. You know, even Justin Bieber now, you know, when he started out, he was very young. And I think he has actually stayed relatively stable, I think, Justin Bieber, considering the degree of fame that he achieved when he did at such a young age. Because it can really mess you up, I think. Becoming famous when you're just so young. All right, with a couple of minutes before our next break, let's take a look at some short answers. I'm going to give you a question. I want you to give me a short answer. When I say short answer, I mean the three-word answer. Are you ready? Yes, I am. So the first word is going to be yes or no. The second word will be the subject. And the third word will be the auxiliary verb. Okay, here we go. Were the first astronauts brave men? Yes, they were. Has the Queen of England been in the news lately? Say yes. Yes, she has. Should you and I make an effort to get along? Llevarnos bien. Should we make an effort to get along? Yes, we should. Can professional boxers take off their gloves during a match? No, they can't. No, they can't. Could Genghis Khan scare people? Yes, he could. Of course. Can you swim underwater? Yes, I can. Did your car break down last week? Say no. No, it didn't. Can I ask you a question? Yes, you can. Okay. All right, this is fairly easy, fairly straightforward, but this is essential stuff. You have to know this. Hay que saberlo. Okay, we're going to take a short break, everybody, but I'm going to be back in a few minutes. We do have plenty more to talk about on our Drive Time show. We're going to have some strange news coming up. I'll tell you an interesting story. We're also going to practice some important grammar and the return of the Drive Time Top 5. Lots to come in our final half hour to help you with your English. I'll be back in just a minute. Don't touch that dial.
Sería genial tener un campamento para mis hijos totalmente en inglés. Y que encima fuesen campamentos temáticos para que se lo pasaran genial. Caballeros y princesas, Harry Potter, máquinas del tiempo, talent show. O y si encima no tuviesen que salir de Madrid, ¡buah, eso sería fantástico! Y si además no tuvieran que dormir fuera de casa y pudieran volver el mismo día, ¿tendrán algo así los de Vaughan?
Lo tenemos. Se llama Urban Camps. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 y te lo contaremos todo. 91-133-5832.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan Telephone Class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Ay, sería genial tener un campamento para mis hijos total.